Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's January 13, 2014, and this is episode 404. Now into 2014, I thought I'd carry out my tradition of selecting my favourite top 10 photos from the previous year, and I found the process so difficult this year that this is what I'm going to discuss today, as I believe that there's something that we can all learn from, especially if you decide to do this with your own images too. I know that I'll be repeating myself to a degree here, as I do this every year, but I always learn so much from the process that I'd like to share it with you. Unlike other years though, this time I'm going to concentrate much more on the selection process, and then I'm just going to include the top 10 images for you to look at into the blog post, rather than explaining about each image as I have done in previous years, basically because I've already spoken about all of these images through the year anyway. If you recall from previous episodes in the past, I've mentioned that I always copy my final selections. I have a folder that I call the finals, and in that folder I have a new folder for each year. So as the years go by, I can always go back and look at what I thought was my best work for each year. Because I do all of my initial rating in my original raw image file folders, I can also go back to my library in Lightroom and select a year and go show, say for example, only show 5-star images, and that automatically gives me the same view of a set of images. But you know, how you do this, of course, will depend entirely on how you archive your own images. But for me, that's what I have: one set of images in my originals. I call them my photo originals folder, and that's all of the raw folders by year, then month folder, and then each day that I shoot on. And I can get this view from there, or go to my finals folder. But the finals folder is what I use for this exercise, because all of the images are in there, plus a few others. And I'll explain a little bit about how I use the stars. My star rating is changing slightly. Again, this is a very personal sort of thing. I'm not saying that this is how you should do it, but this is how I do it. I should clarify as well that my finals folder contains images that, although aren't necessarily portfolio class, I consider them good enough to show people or put forward to be considered for inclusion in my offset stock library now. Until now, I've marked these images with 5 stars. Not because they're amazing, it's just been my system so far. From 2014, I'll probably go back and do this with my entire library, it's an easy process. But from 2014, I'm going to change this so that my finals are now 4 stars and my portfolio images will be 5-star. 3-star images are now the ones that I need to keep them in my finals folder, but they're not necessarily images that I want to show people. 2 stars are now my originals. For example, if I take an image into Silver Effects Pro and create a black and white version, I mark the original RAW file with 2 stars. This used to be 3. I've basically just reduced them all to make room for 5 stars being my portfolio only images. But basically, if I've taken something into Silver Effects Pro and create, say, a black and white version, I mark the original RAW file with 2 stars now and keep it with the final copy. 1-star images are images that I initially selected after a shoot, but then decided not to use. For example, I might have had, say, 5 or 6 similar images and just needed to mark them initially until I drilled down to a final selection, which I do by filtering on the higher star number. And then I demote the images by reducing the star rating, removing them from the current view. I call this now 1-star, used to be 2, call this 1-star rating my once great images. And that I just like to leave the stars there so that I can go back and see what I thought were good enough to at least think about including in my finals at one point. And all other stars, all other images have no stars. So to start my process of selecting the top 10 from 2013, I go to my finals folder for 2013 and start my first pass. I know that throwing in too many images is going to make the process longer, so I'm very critical as I go through the entire folder. I create a Lightroom collection for this year called 2013 Top 10 First Pass, and I make that the target selection when I create it. So all I have to do to add images is to hit the B key on the keyboard, and they're automatically added to that collection. My 2013 finals folder contains 359 images that I was happy to show people. From those images, after my first pass, my selection stood at 40, which we can see in this screenshot. I'll add this to the Enhanced podcast, but if you want to go over to the blog post for this week is at mbp.ac/404 for episode 404. Once I had my selection of 40 images, the next thing I did was to start to reduce the selection down in groups. For example, I had two sand dune shots from Namibia that were similar, so I chose which of the two I preferred. I also decided to remove all three snow monkey shots. I wanted to consider them, so I added them to my initial selection, but with a total of 40 in that initial selection, I knew that they weren't going to make the cut, as they definitely weren't my best snow monkey shots when compared to previous years. Once you get to this point and you already have a fresh understanding of what you've just put into the selection, it's not hard to reduce the selection to around half based on knowing that the images that you're looking at simply don't excite you as much as some of the others in your selection. In two more quick passes, I was able to reduce the 40 images to 21 that we see in this screenshot. It's from this point that the process starts to get really hard. For me, at least, I can get a year of images down to this short list relatively quickly, but this last part really takes a lot of time. Every image in this last 21 is very special to me for one reason or another. I'm still very happy with my other selected images, but to be honest, even though I try to be very selective after a trip or shoot to only add the very best shots to my finals, and I always give it some time for the initial excitement to die down, I find that I really like my images for a month or two after the trip or shoot, but then once a few months have passed, I start to think that some of the images aren't that special after all. I think the thing is that for me, the gap between the excitement I feel about new work and work that is a few months old is so great that I sometimes even feel as though I dislike some of the images for a while. The strange thing is, though, that after that dip, I start to like the images again. So I don't remove shots from my final selections until I've sort of lived with them for a while. If I don't come back around and start liking them again, I sometimes remove the images after 6 months or a year or so, but I'm on a kind of an emotional roller coaster with regards to how I feel about my images until that point. So, after getting down to my 21 images over the weekend, I'm just basically was not able to reduce the images past that, even after a few more looks through the selection on Sunday evening, I left this final stage until this morning, the day that I have to record and release this podcast episode. As I write this, I literally just sat at my desk and watched the images in a slideshow on my iMac screen. And suddenly, once again, I'm sitting here thinking how fortunate I am to be living this life. I was able to visit two of my bucket list countries last year, and now I'm faced with the difficult task of having to cut these images down from 21 by more than half to just 10. It's a wonderful problem to have, though, and this reflection on the previous year is another reason that I love to go through this exercise. Continuing to work in groups, I had 3 sea eagle shots, for example, so I removed 2 of them, leaving just 1. I also had multiple Namibia wildlife shots, so I initially removed the springbok shot, as although I like it, the cheetah shot wins out for me. I left the elephant's ass shot in, though, for now, as I love this the mood of this sepia image. The Milky Way shot went too, and there were 2 hooper swans left, so hooper swan shots left, so I removed 1 of them. At this point, I still had 7 shots left from Iceland, though, so I got these 7 shots up in survey view and started to think of which ones of my children I was going to shoot. An obvious first place to look was which of the 2 similar waterfall shots I'd remove. After that, though, I was stumped for a while. As much as I love the Aurora shot too, it was in the selection more because it represents the realization of a childhood dream rather than artistic merit, so that had to go. Now at 14, I still was struggling with my Iceland selection. I started to look at the 2 black and white landscapes, and although I wanted to go with the abandoned farmhouse, the surfboard on the beach just grabs me by the heart, so I decided to go with that one instead. At 13 now, I decided to remove the Namibia sand dune shot, which took me to 12. Jeez, this is hard. At this point, I went back to my slideshow mode. I use the Lightroom slideshow a lot when trying to whittle down my selection of final images from a shoot. At this point, I'm looking for a slight change in how I feel as the slides progress. If the next image comes up and I feel a dip, it's an indication that the image isn't as good as the last, and therefore should be considered for removal. Conversely, if I feel more excited about the next image, the previous one may have to go. With this, I removed the image of the copse of trees on the hill from Hokkaido, and the last one, which was the long exposure of Mount Fuji from Hakone. I love both of these shots, but I dipped slightly as these came onto the screen compared to the rest, so I now have my 2013 top 10. And I'll add these I'll just drop them into the blog post at the end of the post for today so that you can come along and take a look. And remember, you can see go to the blog post at mbp.ac/404. And we've got a little bit more to talk about now, though. So, I mean, if you want to go take a look at the images, do that. But I hope you enjoy looking at the images and hearing about my selection process. And I know that a lot of listeners have started to do this each year with your own work. And I always enjoy looking at your shots when people let me know that, you know, this you've gone through this process. So if you do go through it, do drop a link to your gallery or your selection, a blog post, whatever it is, in the comments of this blog post at mbp.ac/404, so that we can all take a look. And also let me know if you learned anything by doing this as well, as I really believe it's such a valuable process. In addition to being incredibly thankful for being able to make these images over the last 12 months, selecting my top 10 really helps me to understand which images really work for me. It also shows me that I seem to have appreciated my Namibia and Iceland work more than my Snow Monkey and Hokkaido work this year. That's not surprising, as I've been traveling to the Snow Monkeys and Hokkaido for much longer, and I already have, in the most part, much better shots from previous years. Namibia and Iceland were totally new experiences, and that does make me happy too, though, because it shows me that I was able to be productive in totally new environments. This also tells me that I am probably making my Snow Monkey and Hokkaido selections based on this year's images, wanting to select something because I made the images after all. So, you know, I still go through and select finals, but I'm not really adding much to my portfolio if I don't rate the resulting images over my existing work. More images would make, say, a 40-image portfolio, of course, because there are a number of images from this year's trips that I really like, but under these restrictions, they don't make the grade, and that's important to know. What that makes me want to do, though, is to not only be more critical with this year's work when I get back from the true trips that are coming up, but also I want to try harder to come home with images that beat what I already have. This, of course, depends very much on weather conditions and the wildlife that we encounter, but there's a fire in my heart now, so I want to see what I can do with that. Okay, so do go take a look at the top 10 images and let me know what you think as well. Before we finish, I wanted to quickly mention that if you've missed our old podcasts page that I took down over Christmas and the New Year, it's back now. I've created a redirect from your old link will work, but the new page is now under the links menu at martinbaileyphotography.com. And it has pretty much all of the functionality of the old page. If you didn't use it, then don't worry about this. If you did use it and you came along and found that the page was different, it's now back in very much the original state, but I've added a few different views and it's all now under my WordPress blog, so the look and feel is much more consistent. I'll put a link into the show notes, but there's also a short link, mbp.ac/podcasts, if you want to jump over there and take a look. So thanks very much for listening today. I hope that you found this useful. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are over there at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.